Yes, it's the 245th QuackCast Revenant Edition. This one is called Vitamin A, Infections, and the Measles. It is from the science-based medicine blog of the same name from March 18th, 2025. References can be found at that blog as well as clever hyperlinks and full quotes. I have to admit, I'm really lazy about reading entire abstracts out loud. So if you want more details, go to the blog post. I have always had a bias towards the appeal to nature fallacy. An appeal to nature fallacy happens when someone argues that something is good, better, or more authentic simply because it's natural, while brushing aside anything man-made as inferior or harmful. Or at least my version of the natural fallacy. I have always thought that the human body is more or less tuned by evolution to run optimally. More or less. I know there are those who marvel at the human body, but after 40 years as a doctor, I am more amazed at this kludge of half-assed systems, mutations, and polymorphisms that is the human can survive at all. The only organ that functions adequately in my meat sack is my liver. And that is because I exercise it regularly. Or am I oversharing? But be it sodium or temperature or hematocrit or whatever, physiology keeps the value in a tight range. I assume that value is an optimal trade-off between benefits and complications. If we had a core temperature of, say, 103, humans would likely have far fewer infections, but the caloric requirements to maintain that temperature would be prohibitive. Among the many physiologic half-assitudes of being human is we have lost the ability to synthesize some vitamins, such as vitamin A or vitamin C, or we have moved to parts of the world that make synthesis more difficult. Long periods of gray skies here in the Great Pacific Northwest make vitamin D synthesis problematic. So for these and other vitamins, we have to rely on diet to stay replete, and evolution has determined what those optimal vitamin levels should be, I suppose. Much of the world can't run over to Safeway and get a varied diet to prevent vitamin deficiency. Not that it always helps to live in the United States. Many people in the U.S. live in food deserts, or maybe that should be food desserts, or have food peccadilloes that get in the way of good nutrition. Years ago, I saw a patient who for years only ate white rice, and came to the hospital in high output heart failure from thiamine deficiency. That takes real commitment to achieve. I have always had an interest in vitamins, specifically as they relate to infectious diseases. For those stumbling upon this podcast for the first time, I was an infectious disease doctor for 36 years, hence the interest. There are two issues concerning vitamins and infections: the consequences of deficiency, and whether the vitamins can be used pharmacologically to treat infections. It is an interesting literature. For vitamins C and D, I will sum up, as those vitamins are not the focus of this podcast. Deficiency in either increases risks for a variety of infections in a variety of populations. In deficient populations, treatment does not always have a clear-cut benefit. In replete populations, supplementation likely does little, and supertherapeutic doses do less. It's like the oil in your car. You want the oil level optimal between the levels of the dipstick, and there is no point in adding 7 quarts when the capacity of the crankcase is 6. Many a crank fails to make the case for supertherapeutic doses of vitamins, although I have made sure my TB patients took vitamin D, even if that literature is particularly messy. But the vitamin treatment du jour is vitamin A and measles. So what's the deal? First, vitamin A in the immune system. Does it boost? Nah, of course not. But vitamin A is important for many physiologic functions. Should you be low on Ambien, a nice review notes that, quote, vitamin A is a micronutrient that is crucial for maintaining vision, promoting growth and development, and protecting epithelium and mucus integrity in the body. Vitamin A is known as an anti-inflammation vitamin because of its critical role in enhancing immune function. Vitamin A is involved with the development of the immune system and plays regulatory roles in cellular immune responses and humoral immune processes. And vitamin A deficiency, quote, impaired antibody responses to challenge with protein antigens, changes in lymphocyte populations, and altered T and B cell function. All bad if you are infected with measles or any pathogen. So like all vitamins, it is good to be replete. And more is not better. There is a vitamin A toxicity, an issue with all fat-soluble vitamins. And many Americans do have a lot of fat to store vitamins. So being deficient impairs the immune response to measles. And measles is an infection that also whacks the immune system. A bad combination. Quote, measles infection can greatly diminish previously acquired immune memory, potentially leaving individuals at risk for infection by other pathogens. Those adverse effects on the immune system were not seen in vaccinated children. And measles, quote, wipes out 11% to 73% of different antibodies that protect against viral and bacterial strains a person was previously immune to. Anything from influenza to herpes virus to bacteria that cause pneumonia and skin infections. And during acute infections, it is a cause of neutropenia, i.e. a low white count. As a result of that gruesome twosome, vitamin A deficiency leads to worser outcomes in measles with more death and more blindness. Given that vitamin A deficiency is common in much of the world, I was curious about Samoa, where 83 of 5,770 patients with measles died, a whopping 1.4%, much more than the usual 1 in 1,000. People think 1 in 1,000 chance of death is low. Although, as a thought experiment, I do not think I would hold a gun to my head and pull the trigger if there was a 1 in 1,000 chance of blowing out my brains. But that's me. The Wikipedia says, quote, clinicians reported vitamin A deficiency or immunodeficiency did not appear to be a substantial contributing factor to the outbreak. But then I looked at the reference, and it was useless. Quote, we are not really seeing evidence of acute malnutrition, says British pediatrician Dr. Owens, who arrived from the UK on the same flight as me. As I understand it, there is very little evidence of clinical vitamin A deficiency. And I've not met a patient yet with a defined immune deficiency. As I understand it, is not the deepest understanding or a robust reference. I usually use that phrase when I only have a superficial understanding of a topic. The Samoan government noted, quote, the amount of vitamin A available for consumption in Samoa is, on average, about 310 micrograms per capita per day, which is slightly higher than the average requirement of 282 per day. Huge disparities within the population can be observed as the level of vitamin A available for consumption among the poor population is almost half the requirement, while richer households have access on average to an amount of vitamin A twice the requirement. The average quality of vitamin A available for consumption is also well below requirements for large households, with many members compared to small households. As the UN noted, quote, Samoan households generally have a lower intake of vitamin A than is recommended. So, vitamin A deficiency could have been a factor for the deaths in Samoa. Of course, in the U.S. is not Samoa. It might be worse. Texas, where measles has been running rampant, is not noted for either healthy diet or food security. One summary of vitamin A in the U.S. says, quote, dietary surveys indicate that many U.S. adults do not meet dietary requirements for vitamin A, even when accounting for vitamin A from fortified foods, which is significant. 51% of adults fall short. In contrast, more than 94% of children and adolescents have vitamin A intakes equivalent to the requirement or higher. And that's due to fortified milk and cereal. So it depends on the population, but they estimate that less than 1% of the U.S. population is vitamin A deficient. The raw data is there on vitamin A, but not by state. Vitamin A deficiency is, fortunately, rare in the U.S. In Texas? Who knows? In poor Texans with a bad diet? Who knows? It is unlikely that vitamin A deficiency is going to be important in measles outcome in the U.S., except perhaps for the poor. And in the U.S., the poor don't matter. And I would suppose that those most in need of supplementation, the poor and those with food insecurity, are also those least able to purchase vitamins or find vitamin A-rich foods. So, how about vitamin A as a treatment for measles? A summary of placebo-controlled trials found, quote, there was no significant reduction in the risk of mortality in the vitamin A group when all studies were pooled. The evidence suggests that vitamin A in a single dose was not associated with reduced risk of mortality. However, two doses of vitamin A did reduce mortality in children aged less than 2 years old. The author's conclusions, quote, no significant reduction in mortality from vitamin A therapy for children with measles was found. However, two doses reduced overall and pneumonia-specific mortality in children aged less than 2 years. No trials compared a single dose with two doses. And in studies out of Africa, where vitamin A deficiency is common and vaccination is not, quote, there was a 39% reduction in overall mortality with vitamin A was used for the treatment of measles, but this was not statistically significant. Like most viral infections, interventions are probably too late in the course of the disease to do much. Viri multiply at an amazing rate, and by the time people get to the doctor, most viral infections are too advanced to alter the course with antivirals. But if there is a reasonable chance of vitamin A deficiency, it is probably good to give the kids a couple doses of vitamin A and other vitamins on general principles that it is good to be replete in your vitamin levels. And in Italy, where vitamin A deficiency is unlikely, one tomato has 17% the RDA, and the average Italian eats 35 kilograms of tomato a year. An Italian diet looks pretty good for vitamin A. But they found that, quote, vitamin A does not change the clinical course of measles infections or the rate of complications in children hospitalized in a high-income country. And vitamin A or not, I also suspect that many who die of infections have mutations that increase their chance of dying, like for influenza. The human genome is chock-a-block full of variations, polymorphisms, that can increase or decrease their risk from an infection. The fault, dear RFK, is not in our vitamin A, but in our cells. And for that, we need vaccinations. And vitamin A does not prevent measles. Remember my appeal to nature fallacy? Measles' whole purpose in life is to infect humans. Infecting you is what they were evolved to do. You think the urge to reproduce was annoying as a teenager? Try being a virus. Measles has likely only been infecting humans for 900 years or so, jumping from Rinderpest, the measles of cows and goats. Rinderpest, by the way, was eradicated by vaccination. Or perhaps Rinderpest began after a leak in an 11th century Chinese virology lab. Hard to say. But I would wager measles has not had the time to have an impact on the human genome and immunity of, say, malaria. So the take home for vitamin A and measles? Be vitamin A replete. If you are in a third world medical or nutritional area and could be vitamin A deficient, perhaps like worst of breed Texas, there may be some marginal benefit from vitamin A to treat measles. If not vaccinated, try to be replete. When a child hits the ER with measles, you don't know the nutritional status, and while some vitamin A probably will not help in the short run, it might in the long run. It would be silly to rely on vitamin A for either prevention or treatment when we have a very effective and safe vaccine. Remember, vaccinated people do not die of measles, do not get immune reset, and do not get sicker than shit. Unvaccinated do. Vitamin A at best, in the vitamin A deficient, decreases mortality by 39%, not the 100% decrease from vaccination. An ounce of perversion is better than a pound of cure. No, wait. That should be an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. Get the measles vaccine. And that ends the QuackCast 245. As mentioned, references for this podcast can be found at the Science-Based Medicine entry of the same name from March 18th, 2025. Otherwise, talk to you later. Thanks. Bye.